Okay, I passed out a paper tonight. I hope there's at least one paper for every two people. That's not COVID compliant, I'm sorry. I didn't print enough papers. So does anybody not have a paper that wants one? Or your neighbor doesn't have one? So again, this is to prevent you from having to shuffle around through your Bible too much because I'm kind of all over the place. I wanted to collect things under a certain theme. So last week our theme was about choosing what's better. Remember, better a little. There are things that are better than silver and gold. They're better than feasting. They're better than worldly comforts and success. And we had a good number of proverbs that sounded like this. And this is the first one on your paper. So this is kind of flashback. It says, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his ways or crooked, though he be rich. Okay, so poor versus rich isn't the only factor in life, is it? Right? There's a much more weighty factor, that's integrity. And when you add that in, that tips the scale way over in the other direction, right? So poor plus integrity is better than rich plus crookedness, right? Rich plus perversity. And you know how the very rich are usually the, you know, they're the crooked most of the time, and usually the ones who are behind the corrupting forces and the subversive movements that we're seeing in society, right? You know what they say when you're investigating a conspiracy, follow the money, right? Follow the money. So better to be honest and poor if it comes down to that, okay? So tonight, the bold-faced one, which is the second one, that's our theme for tonight. I want to shift the focus a little bit to consider the very great value of a good name or a good reputation. Okay, so we're going to move through these relatively fast. It may look like a lot of them, but I don't think it's too many. So 22:1 says this, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and loving favor is to be chosen rather than silver and gold. Okay, loving favor to me, like that has a really nice ring to it. And it struck me that like that doesn't sound like something you hear in the Bible, you know, loving favor. It turns out that's the only location in the King James or New King James Bible that that turn of phrase appears. Okay, loving favor is very nice. It's literally something like kind regard, good grace, something like that. I think literally it says good grace. And it means to be well thought of by decent people, okay? So a loving favor is to be chosen rather than silver and gold. So in the letters to Titus and Timothy, Paul tells these two missionaries to look for certain kinds of men to appoint as the elders and deacons in the churches of God, okay? And he says they have to be worthy of respect, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not belligerent, not greedy, but gentle, okay? Not quarrelsome, not covetous, faithful to their wives, having well-behaved children. And then he says this, moreover, he must have a good reputation with outsiders. Okay, you have to have a good reputation with outsiders, lest he fall into disgrace. So a good name. It's to be chosen rather than great riches. Hey, loving favor rather than gold and silver. So Brother Pablo and Brother Uncle Dave and I are reading this book together about deacons. And the author made a pretty good point in the last chapter that we read that, you know, those characteristics, what God requires of deacons, is just the same thing that he requires of any Christian, right? I mean, is there any Christian who's not supposed to be worthy of respect, temperate, sober-minded, well-behaved, faithful to his wife, peaceable, generous, okay, and so on? Is there any Christian who's not supposed to have a good reputation with outsiders? Okay, there's no one really in the family of God the Father would not wish to have a good name and loving favor. So it's not supposed to just be the deacons. So for example, in 1 Timothy, Paul is talking about the benevolence fund for the widows. And he says about them, don't let a widow be enrolled unless she's been the wife of one man, right, faithful to her husband, and has a reputation for good works, okay? If she's brought up children, lodged strangers, washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Okay, so every Christian is supposed to have a good name. Okay, and the next verse on your paper says, even a child is known by his deeds whether what he does is pure and right. Okay, young people have reputations too, whether, you know, they're unruly kids, good kids, you know, troublesome or what it might be. So Ecclesiastes also says a good name is better than precious ointment. Okay, and that makes me think of the woman who came with the jar of the ointment and, you know, cried on Jesus' feet and she poured out this precious ointment. A good name is better than precious ointment. Okay, so I put some like sort of horizontal lines on the paper to show kind of where the topics break up. So I want to start with a few proverbs that show us some of the qualities that make for a good or bad reputation. Okay, so like I said, we're going to hopefully move through these pretty fast. 19:22 says this, what is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Okay, unless you're a poor liar, I suppose. But, you know, that's given the choice, right? I mean, unless this is what people want to see for in a man, kindness, right? Lying ruins a reputation, okay? If you're rich, well, people might cling to you, but if you're a liar, people are going to, so better to be poor, if that's your choice, than to be known as a liar, okay? It's something that people are looking for that makes a good reputation. The next one says, by humility and the fear of the Lord, come riches and honor and life. And I'm using honor here in the sense of honor by men, right? A good reputation. Honor is another way of saying be well thought of, right? To be respected. Okay, humility and godliness are qualities that earn a person a good name, right? Among decent people. So the next two are a pair because the second half of them is the same. So 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. In other words, if wisdom was a person, this would be her advice, right? The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. And then the next one, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but before honor is humility. Okay, so if you want to have a good life and enjoy a good name, fear God and avoid being arrogant and proud, right? I think everybody wants a good name, like you want to be well thought of, but there's a prerequisite, right? Before, that's what it says, before honor comes humility. You have to learn how to not be conceited, okay? If you're haughty, that precedes destruction, but if you're humble, honor comes afterwards. And again, I was reminded of Cornelius. You know, he's such a good person in the New Testament. I mentioned him this morning, and just, you know, even before he got the gospel, he was known, he had a good reputation among the Jews, right? He was known as being a prayer, a generous giver, a just man, fears God, and he had a good reputation. Okay, it says in the scriptures, he had a good reputation among the Jews. So those sorts of things, right? Devoutness, right? Prayer is a form of humility, isn't it, right? Because you're bending the knee, you're bending the heart to God, and that's a sign of humility. All right, the next one is 22:9, and that says this quality, that he who has a generous eye will be blessed. The eye thing, that's a Hebraism. You know, if they say you have an evil eye, in Hebrew it means you're stingy, okay? To have a generous eye is the opposite then, okay? Who has a generous eye will be blessed by people, right? People will bless his name, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Okay, so again, Cornelius, you know, the Jews would say, he's a good man, right? Because they see what he does. He gives of his bread to the poor. Generous. The next one, 27:18, says, whoever tends a fig tree, right, which takes work, right? Whoever tends a fig tree will eat the fruit. Okay, you invest your work in the fig tree, you get the payoff, you get figs, right? So, by parallel, he who waits on his master will be honored. Okay, that's supposed to show you a word picture and then compare something to it. So this is that's the payoff. You put in the work by waiting on your master. Honor, right? A good reputation. Sounds like a good servant or a good employee, right? Nobody wants lazy employees, right? Lazy employees get the boot, right? People who are diligent, They do their job well. They're rightly well thought of, right? They're honored. You get a recommendation when you move on to your next job and so on, okay? And the idea is put your work into it if you want a good reputation. Okay, so different topic now. Here's a couple that are about speech, right? Wise, truthful, biblical speech and how that contributes to a good reputation. So 2015 says, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, right? They exist and they make you rich, right? There's gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. So somebody might say to you, you know, your advice changed my life. Right, your words have been a real blessing to me. You know who you should talk to? You know, I hear you have this problem. You should go talk to Mr. So-and-so because every bit of advice he's ever given me, you know, has always panned out. Okay, lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. You know, this person always steers you right to find a person who gives good advice, who's wise. Of course, you remember what they said about Jesus. Nobody speaks like this man speaks, right? No one ever talked like this, okay? Lips of knowledge. I like this one, 24:26. He who gives a good answer or a right answer smooches the lips, right? Kisses. Okay, it's a kiss on the lips, right? And that's, you know, surprise. Wow, that was really nice. Okay, this is, it's Christian love, right? It's kindness, it's affection. Give a right answer. It's, you know, again, like Jesus, nobody ever said that. Nobody ever talks like that. Okay, good wise words make for a good reputation. And the next one's a nice little, it looks like a piece of jewelry maybe. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Right? It's very nice, maybe something that you might wear, a little decoration. A word fitly spoken, good for a good reputation. The next one's a little bit tricky, it's important. 28:23. Because you don't always want to do this. You always want to say the nice thing, okay? He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward, that's the key word, than he who flatters with the tongue, okay? Your mom told you if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything, right? You know what? That's not the advice of the Bible, okay? Saying the nice thing isn't always saying the right thing. Because flattery is a form of partiality, right? Okay, oh, you know, my son, he could never, no, it couldn't possibly be his fault. You know, he's the best, he's such a good kid, you know, he could never be, it must be his boss's fault, it must be the teacher's fault. I can't believe that teacher, I can't believe, you know, you didn't win the prize, the blue ribbon, you know, that stupid girl, she doesn't have it, you know, she doesn't have what you have. Okay, all flattery, right? Goes at work too, being a yes man at work. Everything the boss says, great idea, boss. You know, never challenged about anything that's unseemly or a little bit questionable. He's the one that signs the paycheck, so you know you better say yes to him all the time. But a Christian can't always give his approval to everything, right? You have to, maybe not right in front of everybody, but you know you have to advise against a sinful course of action. You can't approve of bad behavior. You can't excuse bad behavior. You know, if it's your kid's fault, say so, right? You might risk hurting somebody's feelings. You know, you don't want to hurt a friendship by saying, you know, what you did, it was just wrong. You know, you shouldn't have done that. You know, I really felt you blew it there. Right.
That they weren't doing, mm-hmm. And my mom said, I just can't do that.
Yeah, and they probably said, so you can't work here, I'm sorry.
No,
probably.
Okay. Just not around it. But anyway, she said, I'm not going to write down, you know, she did so many of these or something.
Right. Well, it'll come to you at some point in your life. You know, you're going to be put on the spot, or, you know, your job is going to ride on it, your job approval, job review, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And you have to tell, if it's a person's fault, you know, you don't have to be harsh about it, but say, you know, that was wrong. You know, you can't just pass the buck. You can't pass the blame. So there's an example in the Bible between 1st and 2nd Corinthians where Paul says, you know, I don't regret sending that letter to you, although I did, because I saw that you were pained by it, right? I saw that it caused you sorrow, but it was the right kind of sorrow, and it led you to repentance, right? And then in the end, everything sort of worked out, and he said there was no long-term harm done, and, you know, the sin was corrected, the people made up, and everybody's at peace. But it's because he rebuked them for their bad behavior, like, nobody liked it at first, okay? But that's the key word, like I said, in the proverb, afterward, all right? You'll find more favor afterward. Somebody's going to say, you know, you were the only one who ever spoke up about that, okay? And it makes for a good reputation if you're the one who's the stickler about what's right, okay? You don't shrink away from it. So along the line is the next, that's a little paragraph from chapter 24. And it says, these things are also of the wise. It's not good to show partiality in judgment. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, him the people will curse, right? He's going to have a terrible reputation, okay? Nations will abhor him, but those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. Okay, that takes bravery, but it's going to be recognized eventually as a good character quality. Although people are going to call you a troublemaker at first, probably. Okay, here's a couple then that kind of a new topic, a couple that talk about a bad reputation. 14:17 says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. Right? He's hated. People hate him. Right? He's known as a schemer. Actually, that's what the next one says. He who plots to do evil will be called a schemer. Right? People will label you with this as a bad person. You know, he's a sneak. He's a weasel. Okay? The next one, 24:9, says, the devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men, right? People find him repulsive, right? Decent people find, you know what it means by a scoffer. You know, somebody who's always got a put down, you know, something sarcastic and snide and bitter, you know, and who wants to be around people that are always insulting everyone, people who trash what's good and holy and innocent. And I said, I've probably said to some of you, I don't know if I've said it from the pulpit, but you know, I find it a sign of the times. I find it very disheartening that everything that's called comedy now is sarcasm. And especially the late night talk shows, like, it's all put downs. You know, it's belittling things that are good and right. And, you know, it gets a laugh, but I think of the venom that's in it, you know, and the hatred. And it's, you know, there's smiles and all of this, but it just seems like smugness. And you live your whole life, and it seems like you must be so unhappy to be you, okay, a scoffer, and, you know, turn the channel. I don't want to hear that, right? It's an abomination. He's an abomination to men, okay? Here's a good one about reputations. Good advice for us all, I suppose. 17:28, even a fool is counted wise when he, right, holds his peace, is quiet. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Okay, it's a humorous one, but there's some, you know, the modern day proverb that says better to be silent and to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Okay, so it's probably just a twist on the Bible verse, right? Well, you know, people might think you're stupid if you don't say nothing, but if you open your mouth, they're gonna. Okay, and it's just another way to say don't be babbling on all the time. Especially if something is above your depth, over your head. And so again, for a modern thing, I think of Twitter. You know, Twitter's just a garbage can, you know. It's just people that are just popping off their ideas about whatever floats into their head. It just goes out and, you know, everybody's got an opinion. And it's, to me, it's an appropriate name for it, Twitter. It's just babble. It's noise, okay? Better just not to have an account. All right, switching gears then. I think we're at the end of a topic. Look, so this is something about your reputation. The next few here tell us that it's in poor taste to try to inflate your own reputation, right? Don't talk about yourself. Talk about what a great person you are. So 27:2 says, let another man praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Because that gets obnoxious, right? When people hear, you're always talking about what a great job you did and what a great, you know, athlete you are or how smart you are. Or, okay, pride goeth before a fall, right? and it backfires. He does like to say all the good things he does, right? Well, so it's good advice, right? Everybody needs the Word of God. So 25:6 says this: do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king. You can think of Haman. Do not stand in the place of the great, for it's better that he say to you, come on up here, right? Come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Okay? Jesus said the same thing, right? Take the low seat. You know, when you're invited to a banquet, don't sit right there in the seat of honor, right? Have the host say, come on up here, you know, sit here. So Haman, remember him? The king says to Haman, what should be done for the one that the king wants to honor? And he says, oh, who could that possibly be but me? So he comes up with this big extravagant thing about, you know, parade him through the city on a horse and have one of the chief princes say, this is a, you know, great man the king wants to honor. And it turns out the king was thinking of Mordecai, his enemy, and he's the one who had to go do it. And it was the most humiliating, shameful thing that ever happened to him. So yeah, don't exalt yourself in the presence of the king. The next one, 27:21, says the refining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold. This is how you purify a metal ore. You put it over the heat. It says, and a man is not valued, tested. A man is tested by what others say of him. That word valued was supplied by the King James translator, so tested is better. A man is tested by his praise, is what it says. So how do you react when everybody speaks well of you, right? How do people take to positions of honor? Well, like we just said, you know, some people just lap that up. You know, they're so smug, so vain, and that's what they live for, okay? And even if they, you know, they win an award, they're like, no, you're too kind, and you know they're just eating it up. Okay, people don't like a sore loser, but people don't like a sore winner either. Okay, so you may have a reputation at being very good at what you do, but still a reputation for being a jerk about it, right? You don't want to be, a man is tested by his praise. If I've done anything well, of course, the only one that I want to really hear say it is the Lord. Okay, when the Lord says, well done, well, thank the Lord. That's really all that matters. And I suppose the flip side of that also applies. You know, you're tested when people say negative things about you, because Jesus said, don't be discouraged if the world hates you. I mean, they called the master of the house Beelzebub. What do you think they're going to say about you? So it's a test, right? Hang in there. If wicked people reject you, well, don't worry too much about it. The right people know that you've done the right thing. All right, so next topic, you know, we have to answer, why does having a good reputation matter? Why? Because I'm sure maybe you've said it yourself. You certainly know people that have said it. Oh, I don't care what anybody thinks about me, right? Does that sound familiar? Hardheads, it's a hard-headed thing to say. Why should you care what people think? Okay, well, so for one thing, these next few here, a good reputation opens doors. Right, opens doors to a beneficial future. I'm just going to run through these next, looks like five. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, right? The king favors him, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. Well, who wouldn't want the king's favor, right? That's a good thing, especially if you're talking about this king. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. Okay, that's a good reputation if you talk righteously. In the light of the king's face is life, okay, in his favor. And his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain, right? When you need rain, right? You're looking for rain. It's refreshing. 22:11, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. And do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. And this made me think of somebody like Daniel. Okay, he excelled at his work. Joseph in Genesis. Mordecai, of course. Joshua. People who are, you know, they prove themselves to be men of trust. People you can rely on. People of insight, good judgment. Okay, stand before kings. Okay, so good reputation opens doors. The next couple, there's reward in having a good name. So this is 17:2. It says, a wise servant will rule over a son who causes shame. Okay, the sons are the ones who are supposed to get the inheritance. The servants get nothing, but this is, flips it over. Okay, a wise servant will rule over a son who's shameful, and he, the servant, will share an inheritance among the brothers. Okay, he's going to be treated like one of the family. The master's going to write him into the will, and so on. Okay, that's a reward. 23:24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Okay, family happiness is a great reward. The next one from chapter 31, of course, is the praiseworthy woman. This is her reward. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. He says, many women, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Here's her reward. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Okay, that has the resonance of an eternal reward. Okay, like Revelation says, their works shall follow them. Right? Give her of the fruit of her hands. I like that. But bad deeds lead to a bad reputation, and this is the last topic. I guess there are people who should be avoided and who deservedly do get shunned. Like I said, you know, your mom told you if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything, but you have to be able to tell a person by their fruit. Okay, the Lord said, give honor to whom honor is due, but that's not everybody, right? Not everybody is due honor. So Proverbs 26:1 says, like snow in the summertime, rain in the harvest time, which is not supposed to rain then, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Okay, it's your honor. You call a judge your honor, or you call a politician the honorable Mr. So-and-so. Like, you're not honorable. You know, I wish you could be honorable, but it's honor is not fitting for a fool. You know, everybody applauds and so on. People want respect, and like the thing they hate the most is if people are disrespecting them. You know, but you have to act respectably. You know, respect is something that you should earn. Why should I respect you? You don't act respectably. The next one says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Okay, certain people you should, you might need to walk away from somebody, or stop watching a certain thing on TV, or cut off a certain friendship. Anger and wrath, they just don't mix with love, joy, peace, patience, and so on, right? How can they coexist if you're friends with an angry person or a furious person? Coming to the end here, 2019 says, he who goes around as a talebearer reveals secrets, so don't associate with one who flatters with his lips. Okay, there's several proverbs that talk about how gossip is like a piece of candy, you know. But if you're, avoid them though. He says, you know, if other people are talking, if somebody is talking about other people to you, you know they're talking about you to other people. And, you know, whatever you say to them is going to get out. So, and for that reason, I think you find that people who gossip a lot lose friends pretty quickly because they have a bad reputation. Decent people don't want to be around people who are talking about others' dirty secrets. So, tell somebody to mind your own business. You know, just say, I don't want to hear that. You know, keep that to yourself. And the last one says, an unjust man is, here's this word again, an abomination to the righteous. Of course, it goes both ways, right? Just like he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. So we've said once before about that foolish expression that hate has no home here. You see it on the signs. And we said, there are things you should hate. Okay, the unjust man is an abomination to the righteous. And I just want to finish with the words of David from Psalm 101. David said this, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, I will silence him. And some versions say destroy. Right? He's the king, and he has the power to do that. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. I'm not going to put up with this. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, and they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Whoever works deceit shall not dwell in my house, and he who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Okay? So, you know how Paul says that in the end times, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unforgiving, traitorous, right, brutal, and so on. He says, from such people, turn away. Like, there are certain people that you just need to turn away from. Don't put up with them. God's going to turn away from them. Okay? If you want the favor of the good, you have to live like the good. And I'd say if people want your favor, they have to earn it. Okay? I feel like you should see that they deserve to be honored by you. Of course, that Psalm of David has its fulfillment in Christ's kingdom, right? My eye shall be on the faithful of the land. They shall dwell with me. Okay, so a good name, so, so important for this life and for the next one. Everybody wants respect. Everybody thinks they deserve respect, but you have to actually deserve it, right? In order to get it, you see the things that we've talked about tonight. Kindness, generosity, faithfulness, confidentiality, humility, wisdom. These sorts of things make for a good reputation. Value for this life and for the one to come. All right, with that said, let's pray. We'll ask the Lord to do his good work in each of our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wisdom of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you teach us, you warn us, you coax us, Lord, to a life of holiness and goodness. And we thank you, Father, that you are a good, pure, and holy God, and you show us the right way to live. You've told us that you don't put up with crookedness, deceit, perversity, and slander. And help us, Lord God, to turn away from those things, to cultivate holiness and friendship in our church family, everything that's good and right. And we pray, Lord, that we would love these qualities and love your name and shine in the world, Lord, a world that is full of crookedness and perversity. And help us, Lord, to be steadfast, true, patient, all those good things, Father, that you would like to see in us. So we praise the name of Jesus. Thank you once again for our time together tonight, and ask, Lord, that you would bless the work of our hands for the week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.